My guest at this time is former Pennsylvania Congressman and Senator Rick Santorum, who was, of course, earlier this year also a candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. He joins us today to talk about the state of the 2012 campaign, as well as a little bit about his new book, American Patriots, Answering the Call to Freedom. And, Senator, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It is great to be on your show, Greg.
Let's talk about the state of the race here. First of all, it seems like for most national polls and even now some of the battleground state polls that there appears to be momentum for the Romney-Ryan ticket. Are you seeing that as well?
I feel very good. I tell you, if I was playing poker and I had two hands to choose from, I think I'd take Governor Romney's hand right now. It looks like he's got the cards coming in his direction, and key states that look to be very squarely in the Obama camp are now very much in play, like Pennsylvania and Minnesota, for example, Wisconsin. All of those states are very much in play. You see it because both parties now and both presidential candidates are spending money in those states, which again we're seeing decidedly in the Obama camp. So that tells you where the momentum is, and I think it's going to be a very close race, but I would not be surprised to see a new president come next Tuesday.
You mentioned your home state of Pennsylvania. It's been a long time since a presidential candidate for your party won it. That was George Bush Sr. back in 1988. Do you think that there is enough momentum that could actually turn red this time?
I think there's a lot of things going on there. One is Barack Obama's war on energy and manufacturing, and I think that's been a real problem for him, particularly in the central and western part of the state. So I'm not surprised to see that. And I think Governor Romney is doing much better in the Philadelphia suburbs than past presidential candidates have been. It's always been a tough road there, particularly for George Bush. But I think Romney, being from that region of the country, if you will, resonates a little better there, and is cutting Obama's margin. It's really going to come down to whether there's the energy and enthusiasm in the city of Philadelphia. President Obama is going to win the city with probably 85% of the vote. Question is, how many of those voters will show up? And I don't see anything really going on in the city right now that gives me an indication that there's a lot of energy behind the Obama campaign. So I'm saying, yeah, I very much Pennsylvania is in play.
You are, of course, the closest challenger to Governor Romney in the primary season. The campaign got heated at times, and while it's obvious you prefer Romney to the president, some may wonder whether you're excited about the prospect of a Romney presidency as you've watched him over the last few months since the primary campaign evolved into the general election season. What are you sensing we might see in a Romney presidency, and is it something you're excited about?
Well, I'm very excited. Look, Karen and I, when we made the very difficult decision of doing the illogical thing of running for president after I lost our last race, the next thing you don't do is turn around and run for president, but we felt we should because we were concerned about the future of our country, and we wanted to make sure that Barack Obama was not reelected president, and we felt we had to go out and do everything we thought we could do for our seven children and for future generations of Americans to make sure that we had a new president. And now it's clear that we have an opportunity to have a new president, and I'm very excited about that prospect. Governor Romney is going to be light years better than Barack Obama on every front, everything from our national security to the handling of our economy and our fiscal problems to our culture. And so I'm excited about it, and I think that a Romney presidency will be a marked improvement in a completely different direction than where President Obama is taking us.
This campaign has, of course, focused a lot on the economy, as it did during the primary season, and to some extent, especially in the wake of the 9/11 attacks on our consulate in Benghazi this year, foreign policy a little bit in the later stages of the campaign. One thing that hasn't been talked about a lot is the values issue, and you, of course, have made that a cornerstone of your political career and made it a cornerstone of your candidacy in addition to the other critical issues. The conventional wisdom, and I use that term in quotation marks, it suggests that values issues don't appeal to independents and therefore Republicans should stay away from them. You clearly disagree with that. Explain why that's not a good approach for the party.
Let's just look at Minnesota. Who would have thought Minnesota would be anywhere close to being a toss-up state in this election? You know what happens to be going on in Minnesota that's making that the case? There's a marriage amendment on the ballot. Go back to 2004 when George Bush won Ohio. The reason he won Ohio? There was a marriage amendment on the ballot, and it drove out a lot of turnout in areas where, frankly, Republicans need high turnout if they're going to win elections. this idea that somehow or another that people don't care about the moral and cultural issues is just, people do. You go out in any town hall meeting, you'll get questions on the economy, but without fail, you always get a question about the state of the family and the state of life in America. And this is the pundits and the elite pundits in the media centers of our country who don't think in those terms. I would agree with you. They don't. But that's not how ordinary Americans think. So these issues will play a role. Let me just say, if this race turns on what most people would think a fluke with Minnesota potentially or some state like that, turning to the Romney column and winning him this election, there'll be a lot of people second guessing as to how big a role again the economy plays in this race versus some of the other issues that are that I think equally important.
You've been very strong on the life issue. There's obviously been a couple of Senate races, one in Missouri and one in Indiana, where specifically a question on rape and abortion have stirred up controversy for those two candidates, Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, respectively. As far as I know, you share their position on that issue, but what is the right way to answer that question to not perhaps get the backlash that they've gotten?
Well, both of them, particularly in Todd Akin's case, was very inarticulate in the way he addressed it. I've watched the Richard Murdoch comment repeatedly, and I think any believer would understand exactly what he meant and what he said. It's not what he meant; it's what he said, which is that God doesn't make mistakes. That God intends every human life that comes into being to have the opportunity for life. And I think most believers would share that point of view. And I think Todd Akin said a dumb thing. I think Richard Murdoch said what most believers believe, and we have a bunch of folks in the media who don't see the world that way and are trying to make it into something that it's not. And that to me was a real indication again of how screwed up the media is, that they focus 3 days of news on that while we are finding information about the president, knowing it looks like he did know what was going on in real time in Benghazi, and then he and the White House basically ordered our men in that embassy to fend for themselves and not try to support them. That somehow is not a story, and someone stating a biblically held worldview as to God's intention for every life to have the opportunity to be born is somehow big news. This is the screwed up media, if you will. And as far as how to address that issue, it's very, very simple. And I think Richard Murdoch has it right, which is that all life is sacred. All life all innocent human life should be given the opportunity to be born. And the child in the womb is innocent, irrespective of how that child was created. And our society should always be about it. I hear this from the Democrats all the time. Oh, we have to protect those who are in need in our society. Well, name someone who is in more need and is more helpless and is more innocent than the child in the womb. Yet they're perfectly willing to allow that child to be killed, really for any reason. And that's really the amazing thing. I mean, everyone likes to focus on the rape issue, but the extreme is the people on the other side who say that innocent child can be killed for any reason up to the moment of that child being born. That to me is extreme. But again, the media would rather focus on these rare instances of rape instead of the general notion that life can be taken so horribly and viciously over a million times a year in this country.
You mentioned the Akin race. The National Party, for the most part, urged him to drop out after that. Ultimately, he decided not to, and yet the National Party and the Republican Senatorial Committee have still decided to stay out of that race. You, along with the likes of Newt Gingrich, Mike Huckabee, and some others, have decided that this race is still winnable and it's time for conservatives to move forward in trying to get him elected. What's your message to the National Party who decided to stay out of this race once those comments were uttered?
That, you know, if someone had made a similar comment about raising taxes, they wouldn't have gotten out of the race. It's the double standard. You know, the moral cultural issues are always the ones that the elites in our party tend to steer away from, and it just shows you the disconnect between what's going on in Washington and New York and what's going on around the rest of the country. What Todd Akin said was stupid. He apologized for it. Said he he certainly misspoke in a way that certainly was offensive. And but you know, candidates do that, unfortunately, all the time. The question is, did he apologize for it? Is he made clear what his position is? And the answer is yes on both fronts. And it's time to move on. And that's what I've done. And hopefully, the people of Missouri who are good and decent people, who understand that people make mistakes, but know Todd Akin from 16 years in public life and know him to be a good and competent public servant and someone who has the strong ideas across the board on conservative principles, will stand behind him, unlike the Republican establishment.
Last couple minutes here, Senator. Let's talk about your new book, how you managed to write a book while you were campaigning for president.
I mean, I did it right afterwards.
Okay.
I decided right after the race. I was really inspired after I left the race. I can't tell you how wonderful experience it was and how inspiring it was to meet average Americans all across the country who came out in droves to support our candidacy, which was given by the pundits absolutely no chance. Those same people who I talked about earlier gave us no chance and, frankly, no money throughout the course of this process, and yet we were able to win 11 states. And it just showed me that the message of American first principles, which is really what I was out talking about across the country, are still alive and well, and people understand their vital importance. And one of the things I did find was that the information or the lack of understanding of who we are as a country is still shockingly low, and that what I wanted to do was write a book about who we are as Americans, and that's what the sort of the overarching theme of the book is. But then I wanted to illustrate it with stories of ordinary people at the time of the Revolution who did, in some cases, ordinary things, in some cases, extraordinary things, but all combined to help us win our freedom. And the motivation for that is, again, to explain to people who we are, and we do that by going into detail about our Declaration of Independence, which I think is the soul of America, and then providing, hopefully, some inspiring stories for ordinary people to do those little and to extraordinary things, if you will, to help us keep our freedom here at this age. So it's hopefully an inspirational book, and one that will teach a little bit of history of some of the great patriots in the past and inspire folks for the future.
Well, the book is called American Patriots, Answering the Call to Freedom. Senator, good luck with the book, and thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Absolutely. Former Pennsylvania Senator and Congressman Rick Santorum also was a Republican presidential candidate here in 2012. He's the founder of Patriot Voices, and again, the new book is American Patriots. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.